Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together. Welcome back to Skills Journey Season 2, which we've called Masterclass. And Emil and I have Leona Pinaar in studio with us today. She's from MESS. She's the CEO at Mold Empower Serve. It's a nonprofit who specializes in shelters over South Africa. And we've asked Leona today to come just share her journey with us, the skills that she's attained and what God has called her into. And Leona, we're so thankful that you're here. Thank you for joining us. And will you just tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, give us a little bit just of background of where you're from and who you are.
Oh, fantastic. Lovely to be here. So my journey started, I think, when I was a little girl in a small town called Hibbertsdale. So for those who don't know where that is, if you enjoy a glass of wine, you might better familiarize yourself with Jacques Flane Winery, because that's where Hibbertsdale is. It's in the Western Cape, close to Mossel Bay, and my parents were teachers in this small town, but it was a very unique school in the sense that children were bused from Cape Town every term to get them out of abusive families, and they were literally dropped off with a bus in this small little town, and then during holidays would ship back. So as a little girl, I was confronted by the hurt and the trauma that young people go through in their lives, and I wanted to be a social worker from a very young age because this was the environment, and I had to share my parents with all these kids, and they were primary school kids. So I remember we had to do like pop theater and calm them down because they tried to walk back to Cape Town all the time, because you can imagine living in the city and then you drop off in this small town where there's two small general dealers. Sure. And nothing else. So, that was my background. And then I went to Stellenbosch, studied social work. And in my social work journey, I realized that I want to combine my mission heart with social work. So I was very involved with outreaches in Mozambique, planting churches, got involved with the more vulnerable communities, with the street children and all of that. And then I joined MESS in 1994, first year of elections. It was fun. I was the only white person in the queue in Heelbrow to vote. It was a very exciting time for me. From there, my journey at MESS unfolded, and it had different seasons. So in my early years, which was my building years, I would call it, we were very involved building a program around solving street children issues. And then later on, in 2003, 2006, I was much more involved with the HIV sector and providing homeless hospice care and solutions for ARVs. And then I moved over into the fundraising and marketing space from 2006. And then in 2019, end of 2019, I then became the CEO of MESS.
Incredible. I love how your story is same company and how God has called you into that space. And that's just where you've always been, but how you've grown into today. Can I go back in a question to your faith, maybe as a child? Because you grow up in an environment where you were serving people. Have you always, like, when do you, was there a pivotal moment for you where you're like, God has called me into this mission? Mm. Maybe just tell us about that.
Yeah, I think I've almost grown up in a Christian home. But I think during school, we had all our camps and our church camps and all of that. And there was definitely, in Grootbrak, we had this campsite. There was definitely moments where I knew God was calling me to serve the vulnerable communities. But I think it really landed when I was a student in Stellenbosch. And we had mission weeks. And I so wish we can have that back in our country, because we had the likes of Floyd McClung and all the guys coming out, George Verver, come and speak to us during these mission weeks. And I think that's really where my mission heart cemented in that. And that's where I met MESS.
Yes.
Because MESS always had a stall at the mission weeks. And that's how my journey unfolded.
Incredible. I love that. Yeah. Okay. So, Leona, going from a student and growing up in a house where this was the culture for you, maybe just tell us about coming from the Cape to Gauteng, mm-hmm. and the transition for you from student working at MES. What happened in your heart? What was the transition? What was maybe something that you learned from that?
Yeah, I think it was a tricky season for me. So in Herbertsdale, and maybe I must mention this, there was, if you're in Herbertsdale, it's this little village, and it's got this big mountain called Vryersberg. And I remember when we were at school, we always had to pray for the manne op die grens, the men on the borders, you know? We always had that, and behind the Iron Curtain. And I always remember as a child, I looked at this mountain and I always thought, you know what? People have to cross the mountain to get to us. So we're fine. The mountain is there. Mm. And then I went to George for high school and there's mountains. So my room looked onto the mountain. So it's always been kind of an anchor for me. Then I went to Stellenbosch where it was
surrounded
more mountains.
By mountains.
And then when I came to Hillbrow, It really was hard for me,
yeah.
because all I saw was buildings,
yeah.
and noise. And I came to Hillbrow on a bus and my small red Mini Cooper, old-fashioned one, came with a train. So my first arrival was at Park Station, and my brother met me there with my car. And it was month-end Saturday morning. And we drove from Park Station into Hillbrow where I was going to go to MES. And I think just the noise, the smells, it felt to me like I was driving into Maputo. And I'll never forget it. We got to the building and my brother and I went to actually go look for a mattress because they forgot that I was coming. And there was four bricks in my room with a brace that was broken, and that was my room. So my brother said, I know you want to serve, but can I at least buy you a mattress? So we walked through Hillbrow style around the corner to the OK Bazaars. And as we came around the corner, there was like 30 street children just sleeping on that corner. And I just knew this is where I need to be.
Wow.
And I said to my brother, I'm where I need to be.
Yeah.
And we went to buy the mattress, walked back Hillbrow style on our heads with the mattress. But I think that's... Then I had to find a way to get quiet. And I couldn't get quiet in Hillbrow because it was noise, noise, noise. And then I remember I wrote a newsletter article where I wrote about making the buildings my mountains, and how God had to speak to me to learn to adapt. And I think that was my first lesson in agility and adjustment, because I love nature, I love the sea, I love the mountains, and yeah, I was stuck in streets and filth and dirt and noise.
That's, I'm even thinking how God is such a personal God. That's what he does. Like, he meets you right there where you need him. So would you say one of the big skills you had to learn in the early days was agility, to be able to adapt?
100%.
Did you have people helping you through that?
So when I came to MES, I met Elise Klitt, who was married to Ben Klitt, and they was ministering with me. And I'll never forget, Elise told me, for the first week, you are not going to work. Now, I'm a doer, so that was hard for me. And she said to me, just go sit at the Three Sisters coffee shop every day and just look at the people. Just take it in, just sit there and have coffee. And I thought, that's weird. But anyway, that's what I did. And I think what I learned through that was, when you enter a new community, is you need to sit and just take the community in. You need to listen. You need to watch how they move. You need to watch the dynamics. Because if you want to impact, you need to respect the current dynamics and not just come in with, I'm going to save the world attitude. And I think that week, I met so many Hillbrow people. I remember there was a street child that came with a paper and a pen who wanted to draw me. Because at that point, there wasn't a lot of white people sitting in the coffee shop with me. And I learned so much in that week, just to not do, but to take in. And I think that was quite profound for me in my early days in Neil Brown.
Leona, I think that's so fascinating, just the skill of kind of first seeking to understand, right? It's almost saying, 100%. How do you change that posture to not just superimpose your opinions and ideas, but to be sensitive to what is already happening? But what I want to kind of dig into, if you don't mind, is what is it that shifted? Because I think it's very easy for people to go to the place of overwhelm, right? Your entire world fits into this small little town. And then it seems like there's this calling, this realization of destiny to some extent that then brings you to the big city, right? But then everything is sensory overload. It's almost polar opposites. Like everything changes. It was small to big. It's nature to city. It's quiet to noisy. It's clean and orderly to kind of chaotic and messy, right? And it's just like it's almost like there's no foundation that stays the same. But what is it internally that shifted? What is that? What is the realization or the revelation or perhaps the posture, and how did that happen for you?
I think at that time, Miss Hare were part of the service year for Christ teams, and so I went there on my own as a graduate, but then there was 20 other young people that joined as well that did a service year for Christ. And I think having that community in the building where we lived, all having mission hearts, all having servant hearts year for a year, because that was my commitment, right? I'm coming for a year. Because every time we drove to Mozambique, I said to the Lord, just not this ugly, filthy place.
Sure.
And that's where he sent me. So don't say that to God. But I think that community, that it was really like coming home. I remember when Kubis was one of the homeless people that was at Mess. He lived in our building. He was rehabilitated at that time. And I'll never forget, he walked with me one day through Hill Brown. He said, let me just go show you where to walk and not to walk. And I remember in Hill Brown, people don't respect traffic lights. So they just cross the street. So he stopped. And he said to me, if you cross the road when it's red, your choice is to walk away from God's protection. So respect the rules. And it was this amazing uncle who just, and I never crossed a street in Hillbrow with not thinking about, we have choices to make. And if we choose to break the rules, then we choose to actually walk away from God's protection. And I think, if I think back of my parents and sending their daughter to Hillbrow, they must have been so scared. And later when I became a mum, I thought, oh, shame, I put them through a lot, actually. But I think it's that realization that God called me here, but he called me into a faith community where I felt safe, where I felt at home. And where we could build a community that could flow into the outside community.
Yeah, I love that story. I think what you highlight is so important. It's like the power of a community to keep us counterbalanced when there is such a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. That's incredibly powerful. And I think that's true probably for anybody along a skills journey to say, who are you surrounding yourself with? And what are those voices saying? And this community is a community that all of them are there to serve. They're all kind of driving towards the same mission. They're all convicted by the same thing. And it just stirs that hope and that faith, which I think is so powerful. But I also think the other thing you're saying, Leona, that helps is that you committed to a year, right? I think if you went into this journey thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next, you know, 20 years of my life, perhaps that might have been so overwhelming that you just quit. But you're like, I'm going to eat this elephant and I'm actually just committing to one plate, right? I'm committing to this 1 year, and it almost creates this bearable reality to say, well, it's not that bad. I can do this for a year. And it's just enough time for God to start bringing comfort into a space, which I think is so, so profound.
Now, I think it is just taking that step. And I think it's having the courage to take that first step into the unknown, and then surrounding yourself with the right support structure while you're doing it, I think is really important. And it's funny enough, it's one of our graduation criteria for our homeless journey in MES is you need to rebuild a support structure. So whether it's with your own family or church or whatever, if you don't have a support structure, you are deemed to drop out again. Sure. So support structures are so critical. And I just think it's something we mustn't undervalue and underestimate. Mm.
The one thing that I've heard from your story now is how this who was he was rehabilitated, but he was a homeless person, and how the value of the truth that he brought to you had such a significant impact in the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Because even today, I'm sure, when you see a red light, you're still confronted with we can't break rules, and God gave you that wisdom at such a young age, and in the skill that you had to practice for the rest of your life, you really needed that. Yeah.
What I also noticed, and this might sound strange, Leona, but there's this idea of the hero with 1,000 faces, right? So that idea of how we see ourselves as the heroes of our story, but it's a way for us to make sense of our reality. And there's this idea of saying you're in an ordinary world and you get called into an extraordinary world, right? You get called from the small town into the big city, but you realize that you can't do that by yourself. And then usually in kind of a hero narrative, there's a wise advisor, there's a counselor, which in this case is this homeless man who actually guides you through this new extraordinary world to take you to a place where there's this rebirth. And I'm looking forward to kind of chatting with you about this rebirth, because you mentioned earlier in this 20-year journey, there were specific seasons that you kind of identified. There was a building season, and there was a season where you explored other dimensions, and there was a season where you had to get your hands on the money and like the stakeholder engagements. And then there's the season where you now have to lead this organization. And I think there's so much depth just in how you've progressed through that to recognize that every season kind of brings its own skills, its own experiences.
Yeah, and I think really if I think back, and I think I've said this to a few people, is that God definitely took me through seasons where I had to learn certain skill sets. And we probably will explore that later a bit more. But I think in my first season, it was about how important relationships is and knowing the community, to not impose on the community, but work from within and from a place of trust. So not just to come and say, I'm going to save the world, but to really just get to know the community and respect their boundaries and their ways, and then to see the gaps and then how to fill those gaps. And I think then we moved into the systemic barriers that impacts poverty and homelessness, and how do we address those issues. So that was quite important for me in terms of how do we build. I think one of the first things I started in my first month was a network of organizations working with street children. It developed from the Alliance for Street Children, and because I realized we can't not work in an ecosystem. We always have to respect the ecosystem and build on the strength of the ecosystem. And I think that's one of the traits with me still with today, is building on those ecosystems.
You're touching on something interesting that actually popped up in our previous conversation as well. And that's this idea of trust. And it's interesting because that was in the context of kind of the financial advisory sector, right? Where you would understand you don't really want to trust people with your money. But you're kind of bringing it up in the context of working with communities, because ultimately everything that we do as people is relational, right? Work finds expression with people, for people, on behalf of people. And so trust, actually, you're saying, becomes central to that. Don't you just give us a perspective on that? How did you come to that realization? But also, how do you cultivate trust coming into a community where you perhaps see issues that they might be blind to or don't know how to address? But there's always this idea that, I mean, you're coming in as an outsider. What do you know? Do you really care? Do you have hidden motives? And what does that look like for you?
I think my journey was the fact that I chose to go live in the community. Mm. And that's not always practical for everyone. So I don't want to kind of say that is the only way. But in our case, we lived in Hillbrow. So we became part of the community in a sense. And it was actually interesting. The other day, somebody introduced me somewhere and they said, you know what, she's from Mess. And when everybody left Heilbron, Mess decided to stay. and I think it's being in the community. It gives you a certain value from your community to say, okay, you're not coming in from the outside. So because I started my journey and living in Heilbron, I think that broke the first barrier. We spent so many nights outside on the streets around campfires with the homeless community and the street children singing worship songs. And those were my best days at Mess. I think just being in the community, getting to know people's stories. And I think if you make time to listen to people in your community and you prepare to cross the line, and it's not a matter of you want them to just come to your office, but you prepare to step into their world, I think that breaks the barriers down and it builds trust. And then we did fun stuff together. We would play soccer as every Friday the Mess management played soccer against the street kids. And we just, that was our thing. But it was all things that were building trust and barriers. So it's just becoming part of the community and not looking down on the community. And that's why I don't like the term upliftment, mm-hmm. because we're not a top-down approach. We don't look down and lift people to your level. That is not what we do.
Yeah. So good and such wisdom. Eliana, thank you so much for just sharing your heart with us today. We're excited to continue the conversation as we dive deeper into a skills journey with Leona Pinaar from Mess. So we're looking forward to our next episode on skills journey, and don't forget to join us.